Well, whenever Stephen texted me early this morning, it was about 4 o'clock this morning, and asked about if I would be ministering tonight, I was already ready. I've been ready since December. it was January the 6th. It wasn't December. It was January the 6th. I was here in morning prayer, and I was reading every day. I try to read some in Psalms and Proverbs based upon what day it is. And on January the 6th, whenever I was praying, I got to Psalms chapter 29, verse 4. And I saw something, and I couldn't go any further. And it says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." And you know, and I'm sure that I've read that probably 100 times, and you say, well, yeah, well, what about it? And you know, and I, whenever I was sitting there, I really didn't know what it was at that time that God was trying to speak to me and say to me. And so, but I knew that it was the Lord that was really dealing with me. You ever have anything like that when you read something, but you really don't know what he's saying right then, but you know he's fixing to tell you something about it. And so, the Lord said, you need to write it down. So I had a pen, and I started looking around for some paper, and the Lord said, don't write it down on a piece of paper that you're going to end up putting in your pocket, or you're going to end up throwing away, and you're not going to read it again. I said, well, Lord, what am I going to write it on? He said, write it on your hand. I said, Lord, I haven't wrote on my hand since I was in high school. He said, write it on your hand. So I wrote Psalms 29 verse 4 down, and every day, well, you know, I don't know if anybody else even noticed it at work or what, but every time I started to do something, it was right there before me, and I just kept repeating it all day. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And you know, and whenever I came back to morning prayer the next morning, whenever I got back there to sit down, immediately the Holy Spirit said, get your book. I'm fixing to tell you some things about what this means. And so this is what I wrote down. And this was wrote down on January the 7th. Yesterday, I read Psalms 29:4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. When I read it, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to stop and camp here. I could sense the presence and the power of God as I spoke it over and over. Faith, the ability to speak to mountains and see them removed, comes from hearing the voice of the Lord, and hearing the voice of the Lord comes from hearing the Word of God, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I told my class last Sunday, now this was back in December, that we need to not so much hear what Jesus is saying and when we're reading the Bible in the light of it 2,000 years ago, as much as we need to see what Jesus is speaking to us now. What the Spirit of Christ is saying to us now is more powerful than all of our circumstances. Our flesh speaks to us constantly. But Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, that it profits nothing. The voice of God is powerful. It's more powerful than the power of the enemy. The enemy throws a hand grenade at you, then you need to pick it up and throw it back at him. If he throws dynamite at you, light it with the Word of God and throw it back at him. The devil is not near as smart as you think that he is. He's not near as powerful as you think, as many think. Our problem is that in the past, when we'd light the dynamite with our carnal thinking, and instead of throwing it back at him, we sit there and be amazed at the glitter, and the next thing you know, it's just trying to destroy us. But the only authority that the devil has is the power and the authority that we give him. And it's done so by our words. When we speak the Word of God, it's the voice of the Lord. When you speak, you are God's voice on this earth. And whenever you're speaking His Word, your voice and His voice are one. We need to wake up to the fact that every word we speak, we are held accountable for. The words we speak, we are either justified by them or else we're condemned by them. Each and every word we speak enters into our heart. Every word we speak is either it's a faith seed or else it's a fear seed. If it's a faith seed, it's going to bring the power to work for you. And if it's a fear seed, it's going to end up being the power that's going to work against you. That's according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. And it's not a mind thing. It's not something that has nothing to do with your mind. It's a spirit thing. We plant the word in our heart by speaking it, and whenever we're speaking words, we're either speaking fear or we're speaking faith, and we're speaking it right to our minds. It's either gonna, and Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. He said, you either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else you make the tree bad and its fruit bad. My faith is in the voice of God, not in the voice of my flesh, which profits nothing. My flesh considers the present circumstances, but my spirit considers the voice of God. Both of them are powerful. Believe it or not, both of them are powerful. The voice of the flesh has the power to steal, kill, and destroy. But the voice of God has the power to restore, to create, to heal, and to prosper. And it all boils down to just one question that God asked thousands of years ago: whose report will you believe? The report that you're going to believe is going to be a direct result of who you're going to partner with. Whether it's going to be your flesh or whether it's going to be God. The one you partner with is going to be the one you're going to repeat after. We have a choice. We can either repeat after God and we can say what God says, or we can say what we feel. We can go by what our five senses says, and we can call the judgment based upon what it is as we see it. Somebody said, well, you know, I just call it as I see it. Fool. Because that's what you are. What you've got to do is take that word of God, and whenever you're taking that word and you're speaking that word, you are the voice of the Lord. And that's the way that the heavens and the earth was formed. God spoke, and it was so. Now, I want to tell you, you're either speaking blessings or you're speaking cursings. And a lot of times we're trying to speak both, and the Bible says, my brother, this shouldn't be so. Because the fountain doesn't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. So we're either going to be speaking, and you say, you know, you can speak yourself right into the curse. And you may say, well, Brother Danny, don't you know that the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? Yes, I know that, but I also know that Psalms chapter 107 verse 2 says that the redeemed of the Lord has got to say so. And if you're not saying so, and you're saying otherwise, then what happened is you're putting yourself in a position where you're being cursed. If we say otherwise, we're entering into the curse. There's no middle of the road. We've either got to partner with God and we speak what God says, or we partner with the flesh and we're speaking what flesh says. According to James chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, it says that our tongue is like the rudder on a ship. And although it's small, it determines where the huge ship's going to go. Our tongues can drive us into blessings. Our tongues can drive us into the curses. You don't enter the blessings just because you go to church. You don't enter the blessings just because you join the church. You don't even enter the blessings just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Revelation chapter 2 through 3, God deals with seven churches, and six of them had issues. Six of them. One of them, the church of Laodicea, said, you're saying... It sounds like you're saying the right thing, because he said, you're saying that we're rich, that we're full, that we have need of nothing. And he said, but don't you know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're poor? And he says, I'm counseling you, buy from me the gold that is tried in the fire. You know what the gold is tried in the fire? Is whenever you're going through any kind of circumstance out there, I don't care what the circumstance is, and you begin to start speaking that word. Because the Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, it says, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. We've got to speak that word. That's the gold that's going to be tried. And whenever we speak in that word, we can become the gold that is tried in the fire. You don't enter the blessings but just because you're a Christian. Like I said, the voice of man deals with seven. The voice of man is powerful, but the voice of God is more powerful. You can either go through power or you can go through more power. Power to tread upon the serpents, power to tread upon the scorpions, and power to over all the power of the enemy. It's a power to, it is overcoming power. It's the power to break trees, power to move cattle, power to cause a deer to give birth. And that is exactly what, when you go back in Psalms chapter 29, that's exactly what it says. Right after it says that the voice of the Lord is powerful, it goes right into that. It's the power to break trees, to move cattle, to cause a deer to give birth. I want to tell you, I choose this day in whom I'm going to serve and who I'm going to partner with. And I have made my decision. I will partner with God and I will say what He says and not what my stinking flesh says. I know that if I sow to the flesh, the Bible says I'm going to reap corruption. But if I sow to the Spirit, I'm going to reap life everlasting. So what you got to do is you've got to sow to the Spirit. Well, how do you sow to the Spirit? You speak the Word of God to it. Don't be speaking your circumstances. And I'm going to show you something. This is what God showed me and this is not in your handout, but I wrote this down. If you want to write it down, you can. But in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, it says that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, the kingdom of God doesn't come based upon what you're hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, and tasting. But the kingdom of God does come. How does the kingdom of God come? By prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and his verse 10 that we are to pray, kingdom of God come. You know how you enter into the kingdom of God? Is whenever you enter into prayer. I haven't seen anywhere in the Bible that I can recollect where it says that we're supposed to close our eyes whenever we pray. But you know, I do that. And the reason why I do that is because I don't need any more distractions. I already have enough distractions whenever trying to come up, whenever my mind's, carnal mind's trying to speak, whenever everything else is trying to speak, whenever I enter into prayer, I don't need any distractions, so I close my eyes. But I want to tell you, whenever you close your eyes, what you need to see, there needs to be something that you need to see in the spiritual realm. And that is whenever you come into the kingdom of God, that you're not just talking to God. God's not the only one that is there. You've also got angels that are around there. And the Bible says that they hearken to the voice of His Word. If you're speaking His Word, those angels are right there and they're ready to hearken to whatever it is that you're speaking as long as you're speaking the voice of God. And you speak the voice of God when you repeat what God says. But not only is God and the angels there, there's also powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are demonic forces because what are you doing? You're entering into a different dimension. You're going into the kingdom of God. Whenever you're going into prayer, you're entering into the kingdom of God and there are demons that are there. And what you're going to need to do is you need to speak to them. You need to command them to go. You need to tell them to shut their mouth. Shut your trap. You need to understand that it doesn't make any difference what everybody else says. The main thing is, here's the thing about it. Whenever God created man, He gave man dominion. Now, I've heard some people say that man lost that dominion whenever he sinned. That's not true. Because the book in Romans, it says that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Man still has dominion. But here's the thing about it. Whenever Adam, he was walking in that dominion as long before he sinned because he was in the spiritual realm. And whenever he was in the spiritual realm, the Bible said God would bring things to him and whatever it is that Adam called it, that was its name. That doesn't mean he was sitting out there naming bugs and birds and dogs and cats. What he was doing is, whenever a situation came, he would speak to it, and whatever he spoke, he was doing exactly the way that God did whenever it was created. Now, whenever Adam sinned, he walked out of the spiritual over into the natural, and now the only thing that he has to go by is what he hears, see, smell, touch, and taste. But how many of you know that that's what Jesus came and died for, so that we would be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we could get before God, and we can walk in the Spirit and not walk. We don't have to go by what we hear, see, and smell, and touch, and taste, whether it's talking about physical problems, financial problems, marriage problems, children problems, whatever problem it is. Whatever. See, that's the other thing. Whenever you're getting into the kingdom of God, not only is there powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, but you've also got your problems. They're called mountains. And Jesus said that if you will say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it'll obey you. Now, the time to speak that, if you look in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where it talks about that, is not whenever you're, not just right when you're outside there facing the mountain looking on the outside. It's right here on the inside. Because he said, when you pray, you believe. You've got to be in that area of prayer where you're speaking. And you're right there in that kingdom of God. Now, there's something else that's there in the kingdom of God. It's your body, and it's also your mind, the carnal mind. And you've got to tell them to shut up. You got to tell them, line up with the Word of God. You got to say, mind, you pay attention to the words that I speak. You pay attention to the words that I speak. Because I'm speaking the voice of God. And you got to also speak to that body. Body, you line up. Sickness, you got to go. Pain, you got to go. Financial problems, you got to go. Because the Word of God says so. I have in your handout something that God gave me back in December, and I gave it to our class. Now, up at the top, it says two columns there. One of them says what man says. If you will, scratch the word man out and put flesh. Because, really, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It has nothing to do with what sex that you are or what gender. It's what flesh says. And the other one is what God says. Now, listen, I want to ask you, who are you partnering with? Who are you partnering with? What flesh says, the doctor says that I only have 6 weeks to live. Flesh says, I have and it's not on here, but I've added this, I have a headache. Flesh says, I'm coming down with the flu. See, these are things that flesh says. But what God says, anytime you're speaking those things, you're saying those things, you're partnering with the flesh. But if you're going to partner with God, you got to say what God says. And instead of saying that trash, you got to say, you will live and not die, and you will declare the works of the Lord. That's Psalms chapter 118, verse 17. If you're partnering with the flesh, you may end up making some kind of statement, stupid statement like, I'm so broke I can't even pay attention. Well, you know what? That might sound a little bit cute, but I'm going to tell you something. Cute can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. And whenever you're saying things like that, when you're talking about how broke you are, what you're doing is you're partnering with the flesh. So what you've got to do is with your mouth, you've got to say what God says. And God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you tell that flesh, you tell that checkbook, you just shut up, because you're going to line up with the Word of God. You tell your finances, they say your job's going down. I want to tell you something. You say, my job is not my provider. My checkbook is not my provider. My paycheck is not my provider. I look to the holy hills from whom my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And whenever you begin to start speaking that, you're speaking that word. And it's the voice of God, and it's powerful. You know, your flesh may end up saying, I just can't seem to do anything right. Anybody ever been there, done that? Duh. No, what you got to say is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Philippians chapter 4 says. Your flesh, if you're partnering with the flesh, you may end up saying something like, well, it looks like my family's going to hell in a handbasket. I hear people say that. Christian people say that all the time. And I want to tell you something. Don't look out on the outside, because the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not here and it's not there. It's right here on the inside of you. So what you've got to do is speak that word on the inside of you and say what God says. And he says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only am I saved, but my whole household is saved. You know, if you're partnering with the flesh, you may say something stupid like, my life is useless and I should have never been born. I hear people say that all the time. But if you're partnering with the Word of God, partnering with God, you say, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now I am the body of Christ. I'm a member individually. I'm the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. If you're partnering with the flesh, you may be making statements like, I'm so depressed. You know, you get into that hee-haw religion. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh, doom, despair, and agony on me. Might sound cute, but it's dangerous. What you got to say is, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad. And it doesn't matter whatever I feel, but by body, you line up, you start rejoicing. I tell you, I'll never forget. I grabbed a hold of this revelation and I ran with it. It was several years ago. We was back there in the church out there across the river. Sister Margaret Jones, I won't ever forget this. She said, you know, I was praying the other day and I was praying for my kids, because she didn't say exactly what was going on, but she said that she was really, really depressed, and God spoke to her and he said, jump for joy. And she said, Lord, I don't feel like jumping. He said, I didn't say jump because you're joyful. I said, jump for joy. And all of a sudden it lit up and she started jumping and she started dancing. And I tell you what, every time I see her, she'd be dancing all the way up to the day that she died. I want to tell you, you jump for joy. And this one right here is one I'm still working on. I'm getting old. But I got to get out of that, and I got to partner with God, and I got to say what God says. And it says, God satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle, according to Psalms chapter 103, verse 5. We've got to quit saying that. I want to ask you, what are you allowing? By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemning. You can either partner with the flesh and say what it says. I know that she won't mind me sharing this, but in our prayer group, Sharon Glover, she came here one day this past week. She came down and she said, y'all going to have to pray. I got this headache. And I said, and you're claiming it? And man, whenever I said it, her eyes brightened up. She said, you're right, boy. Immediately she started repenting and she started praying. She said, Lord, I pray for anybody else in the body of Christ that's got a headache. I don't claim this headache. Now, I want to ask you something. I want to see if any of y'all caught this, because I've been preaching this for a long time, that any time that you're going through something, instead of claiming it for yourself, pray for somebody in the body of Christ, because whenever you give, it's given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. In fact, whenever I was going to Bible college, you know, there were several different people who had the gift of healing, and they said that whenever they and how they would detect something, they would have a pain in their in their leg or something. They would say, "You got a pain in your leg," and then it would be, and sure enough, they would, and said, "But this is what God says." They would say, "What flesh have?" But then they said, "But here's what God said." I like what Brother McRae said the other day. I thank God for the buts. Amen. Praise God. But this is what God said. And then he spoke the word of God. And not only were they healed, but they was healed also. Leonard Ford, when he was here a few weeks ago, how many of you caught on to this? He said, there's somebody in here that's got a pain in your lower back. And he says, I know you got it because I can feel it and it's not mine. Anybody catch you else hear that? I want to tell you, whenever you get something, I don't care what it is, start praying for somebody else. And that right there, because you see, not only in the kingdom of God do you have God, do you have the angels, do you have the powers and the principalities and the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, not only do you have your body, not only do you have your mind, not only do you have the mountains, but you've also got the saints. Because that's why we put on the whole armor of God. If you go back and read it, that armor is not to make you look pretty. That armor is for you to get ready to go into warfare praying for all the saints. Go back and read it and see if it does not say that. And if you're just sitting there trying, and here's the thing. Most people think that, man, I just got to get everybody praying. And they try to get on as many churches prayer lists as they can. Man, put me on your church's prayer list. Anybody ever have anybody tell you that? And they think that that's how they're going to get healed, by getting so more people praying for them. Man, I just need all the prayers I can get. But no, you know what you need to do is you need to start praying for everybody that you can pray for. You know, I'll tell you what. Sister Jane Davis, where is she at? Sister Jane, there she is. She has got an insurance policy that is out of this world. And she gives you an invitation to it every Sunday when you get the bulletin. And it's the prayer list. And I'm going to tell you what, you can do one of two things with this prayer list. Either you can take it and you can use it as a gossip column, and I pray that none of you do that. Man, did you hear about old Danny? Please don't do that. No, what you need to do, whenever you're praying for them, whatever it is that they're going through, if you will pray for them, that's insurance that you're not going to have to go through it. You can nip it in the bud before the devil ever gets to you. You can already cancel every assignment of accident, death, disease, and destruction by start praying for everybody else that's in the body of Christ. And that's what we need to do. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to go on to another part because I'm just about out of time. But this is the main thing that I'm hearing God is speaking to us. And he said that what we need to do is that we need to build an altar. And an altar, that altar is where you hear the voice of the Lord. If you go back and I've got several places in there, in your handout where it talks about building an altar. And I'm just going to give you a few of these. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, Noah built an altar to the Lord. And in verse 21, it says that it became a soothing aroma to the Lord. And then God made a special covenant with all of mankind just because of one man's altar. Just because of one man's altar. The Holy Spirit told me that if we put this scripture in your handout. And when I did, I read it and noticed something that I'd never seen before. Because if you look at verse 21, it says, then the Lord said in his heart. I said, man was created in the image of God, but this is one detail I've never really noticed, is that God, whenever he speaks into his heart. Whenever we speak the word of God, we're speaking it right into our hearts also. I want to pour that out. Let's go back to building the altar for God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Abraham built an altar to the Lord, and God appeared unto him. You know what an altar is? An altar is your time that you take. And, you know, mostly if your time of prayer is just, you know, running up, say, Lord, can kingdom of God come? Will God be done? You're not going to ever be powerful. You're going to have to take some time. And I'm going to tell you, this is what God showed me. You know, God began to deal with me when I classed. This was back, I think, around in December. And he said that he was telling me, he said, we need to pray in the Spirit at least 10 minutes a day during our prayer time. Now, I prayed in the Spirit several times, but as far as actually having a specific time that I'm going to pray in the Spirit and timing it to, I've never done that. But the Lord spoke, he said, you know, he said, well, you train, that's the way trainers do. They use a stopwatch. And he said, that's what I want you to do. He said, use a stopwatch. So whenever I woke up the next morning, I was going to figure out, Lord, where, how am I going to fit this in? And because whenever there's some things that I do every morning, I get up and I start to come to church. The alarm goes off at 2:45. I'm headed to the church to make sure that I'm here by 4:00. And on my way to church, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my family. I'm calling them out by name. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my church. I plead the blood of Jesus over my job and my business. I plead the blood of Jesus over my finances. I plead the blood of Jesus over America and over all of our political officers out there. And I want to tell you, say something about that real quick. Don't ever criticize any of those people that are up there that has been elected. Because whenever you do, the Bible says that you're talking against God. I'll never forget my first pastor that I ever had, Brother Tullis. He said, if you're not praying for your political leaders, you have no reason to condemn them, criticize them. And if you pray for them and then you criticize them, you just canceled out your prayers. Because that's exactly what the Bible says, tells us that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for our leaders, those that are in authority. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, yeah, but you know, you just don't know. You just don't know our leaders. You just don't know Obama. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who they are. He may be a Muslim. I don't know. I don't know what he is. I don't care what he is. I'm going to tell you something. Paul was a murderer. And he was on the road to Damascus to have Christians killed. And you just don't get no meaner than that. But guess what? He had a divine intervention. And if we as Christians will pray for that divine intervention, we realize that we do that when we get into the kingdom of God, which is on the inside of us, and we speak the word, and instead of talking about how bad they are, we begin to speak the word over them and tell them, you've got to line up with the word of God. And that's the way that we're going to change the world. I hate to break it to you, but Donald Trump is not going to be the savior of the world. It's going to be when Christians get down on their knees and they begin to pray the power of God over whoever is leader. And it doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or whether they're Republican. And I may be thrown out of the church for saying that, but I don't care because it's true. The main thing is that you speak the word of God to them, and no matter how bad they are, you think about Paul. You think about Saul, who was on the way to Damascus, and you say, Lord, let them have a Damascus experience. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, they won't listen. I'm going to tell you, whenever God blinds their eyes and puts them blind, they'll listen. And God speaking to them, they'll listen. Saul did. Became the preacher that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God can do anything. And we limit God by our words. We limit God. The enemy cannot do one single thing. The Bible says, I remember Brother Abel was preaching this just the other day. He says, whatever it is you allow, God allows. And whatever it is you disallow, God's going to disallow. And our problem is, too often with our mouth, we are allowing what we should be disallowing, and we're disallowing what we should be allowing. If you're speaking the word of God, you're going to speak the right thing. Whenever you enter into that kingdom of God and you start speaking to those devils and you tell them to move, they have no choice but to move. Right. Whenever you speak to poverty, it has no choice but to go. You see, people of authority, according to the centurion servant who Jesus said was a man of faith, he said that you say to this one, come, and you say to this one, go. And they're going to obey. So what you got to do is you got to say, poverty, go. Prosperity, come. Sickness, go. Healing, come. Family problems, go. Household salvation, come. And when we speak that word, and we're telling it to come and telling it to go, we become a man of authority, and we are in the kingdom of God. And our voice is the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And that's about all I got to say about that.